Well, good morning. I'd like to welcome all of you to worship this morning at Christ Central Presbyterian Church, and I do invite you at this time to grab the connection card that's in the chair pocket in front of you and ask if you would fill it out. You could drop it in the offering plate when that comes by later on in the service. And then also there's a place on this card for you to write down prayer requests that you may have, as well as to respond to any of the announcements that are contained in the bulletin. And a couple announcements this morning as we get started with our worship service is this coming Saturday, we do have an all-church work day. We'll be meeting here on the campus at 9 a.m. and we'll work through up until noon. And you can read about that in the bulletin as far as items that are being requested for you to bring along with you if you have those. And then also, we continue to announce the fundraising yard sale that we're having for our Costa Rica team, and that's going to be on March the 4th. If you have any items that you would like to bring and donate to that sale, you can bring them here to the church. If you have any items today, find Stephanie Williams or one of our team members, and during the coffee and conversation time, they can help you bring them out to that portable that's out on the far side of the campus. And if you're not sure who our team members are, we did hand out these prayer guides a couple weeks ago. If you were not here that particular Sunday, these are at the welcome desk, and these have a picture and a little bio of each of our team members, and so you can know who exactly is part of the team and who's heading to Costa Rica. We also continue to work on updating our fellowship directory, and if you haven't done so already, please stop by the welcome desk. There's a binder out there. Find your name in there. Make sure there's the information is accurate. If it is, just go ahead and initial next to your name. If there are corrections needed, just cross out the incorrect items, rewrite the items that would need to be updated. And then also, if you'd like to join the choir, there are no huge requirements. If you just simply enjoy singing and you're available on Sunday evenings for practice, they invite you to come on down at 7:30 p.m. on Wednesdays in room 9. And also, if you want to get more plugged in and involved in serving here on Sunday mornings, we are looking for people to help out with preparing our coffee in the morning or bringing a snack along for us to enjoy during the coffee and conversation. If you'd like to help out in the nursery or in our children's ministry, that is available as well. However, those people who help in our children's ministry are screened, and there is a background check that is performed. If you have any electronic devices, I'd ask if you would turn them off or put them in the mute or vibrate mode. And let's begin our worship service with our call to worship this morning. This is a responsive reading, which comes from Psalm 118. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. From the house of the Lord, we bless you.
The Lord is God, and he has made his light shine upon us. The boughs of man join in the festal procession up to the horns of the altar.
You are my God, and I will give you thanks. You are my God, and I will exalt you. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. Amen. I invite you to stand as we sing hymn number 295. Would you pray with me? Father, truly blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. And unlike your people of old who looked forward to the work of salvation through Jesus Christ, we have the privilege of looking back upon the salvation that Jesus has already accomplished on the cross. And therefore, we can sing, we can exalt, we can give you thanks. For now, all the ends of the earth have seen your salvation. Jesus is crowned Lord of all. And so this morning we ask that you would draw near to us, that you would receive our worship, for we approach you through the cleansing blood of Jesus Christ, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit. You are one God now and forever. Amen. Well, if you profess faith in Jesus Christ, Christian, what do you believe?
I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God, the Father Almighty. From there he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit.
be seated. Our first scripture lesson this morning comes from the book of Isaiah, chapter 49, the first 7 verses. Listen to me, you islands. Hear this, you distant nations. Before I was born, the Lord called me. From my birth, he has made mention of my name. He made my mouth like a sharpened sword. In the shadow of his hand, he hid me. He made me into a polished arrow and concealed me in his quiver. He said to me, "You are my servant Israel, in whom I will display my splendor." But I said, "I have labored to no purpose. I have spent my strength in vain and for nothing. Yet what is due me is in the Lord's hand, and my reward is with my God." And now the Lord says, "He who formed me in the womb to be his servant, to bring Jacob back to him and to gather Israel to himself, for I am honored in the eyes of the Lord, and my God has been my strength. He says, 'It is too small a thing for you to be my servant to restore the tribes of Jacob and bring back those of Israel I have kept. I will also make you a light for the Gentiles, that you may bring my salvation to the ends of the earth.' This is what the Lord says, the Redeemer and Holy One of Israel, to him who was despised and abhorred by the nation, to the servant of rulers. Kings will see you and rise up. Princes will see and bow down because of the Lord who is faithful, the Holy One of Israel who has chosen you." The word of the Lord. Oh, with broken and contrite hearts, I ask if you would bow before the Lord with me in prayer. Father, we acknowledge how blessed it is to take refuge in you. However, our lives proclaim a different story. We sing of your love and your sovereignty, yet so often gripe and complain about our circumstances. We declare that we long for your return, yet in reality we seem to be more wrapped up in the gifts that you give us than we are in you. And instead of trusting in you and your provision, we so easily consume ourselves with worry and anxiety. So, Father, during this period of silent reflection, would you hear us and would you receive our silent prayers of confession? Through the shed blood and substitutionary death of Jesus, Father, would you forgive us for our sins? And would you go on to subdue everything in us that is contrary to your purposes? And by your Spirit, would you help us to be like Jesus? And Father, would you hear us as we all pray together? Lord, make us instruments of your peace. Where there is hatred, let us sow love. Where there is injury, pardon. Where there is discord, union. Where there is doubt, faith. Where there is despair, hope. Where there is darkness, light. And where there is sadness, joy. O divine Master, grant that we may not so much seek to be consoled as to console, to be understood as to understand, to be loved as to love. For it is in giving that we receive, it is in pardoning that we are pardoned, and it is in dying that we are born to eternal life. Amen. Well, the assurance of pardon this morning comes from 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation.
The old has gone, and the new has come. Amen. Our second scripture lesson this morning comes from 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 1 through 9. Paul, called to be an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, and our brother Sosthenes, to the church of God in Corinth, to those sanctified in Christ Jesus and called to be holy, together with all those everywhere who call on the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, their Lord and ours. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I always thank God for you because of his grace given you in Christ Jesus. For in him you have been enriched in every way, in all your speaking and all your knowledge, because of our testimony about Christ was confirmed in you. Therefore, you do not lack any spiritual gift as you eagerly wait for our Lord Jesus Christ to be revealed. He will keep you strong to the end so that you will be blameless on the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. God, who has called you into fellowship with his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, is faithful. The word of the Lord.
Would you join me in prayer once again? Heavenly Father, having confessed our sins and asked for your blessing upon this service, we would come now and pray and offer our requests, Lord, before you. Father, you told us through the Apostle Paul to pray for those who lead. Lord, we ask that you would be with our new president. Give him wisdom to him and his cabinet, all the other officials in Washington and Congress. We ask that you would help them to lead and guide with justice and equity. Father, we pray that all those in Washington and all over the world, in every capital, in every city, in every town who lead, that, Lord, they would be consciously aware of your sovereign plan and care and the fact that you're summing up all things in Christ Jesus. Lord, may we as believers take great comfort in that and live with a holy expectancy for the return of Christ and to be good citizens in the meantime. Father, bless us to that end. Be with those who lead. Father, we'd also pray for others. We think of our church. We ask, Lord, that you would continue to make her to be all that you would have her to be. And Father, help us to reach out to the community with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Lord, help us to reach out to the nations. We pray for the Costa Rica missions team and trip coming up this summer. We ask, Lord, that you would be with every participant. And Father, you would prepare these men and women for that time together and for the experience of being on a foreign field, that, Lord, you would use them mightily. Father, we remember others. We pray for our sister in Christ, Glenda Williams, and the death of her sister, Patty Milk. Lord, we ask that you would be with both Glenda and Blake as they travel to the funeral in Illinois. And Father, bring them back safely and comfort their hearts as they mourn. We also continue to pray for Glenda Fellows in her time of mourning for the loss of her husband, Johnny. Father, we remember Dave Barden. We also pray for Judy Dulstall and Debbie Vincent, Denny Michael Bedoronsky and Larry Dickey, and Marcia Craig and Frank Frail. Father, we remember all of these needs. As precious members of the body of Christ, we ask that you would meet every need that they have as you define it. Father, we pray for others. We think of Ron Quick Jr. and Augustina Livesay. We pray for Lee Zambon and Lois Callen and Mike Cawley. And we remember Lana Schwartz. Ask, Lord, that you would bring comfort to her. Lord, give grace to each one of these who are confined and away from us. Father, we pray for others who are missionaries. We pray for Rodney and Jana Davila. We pray for Don and Judy Vanderplug. We pray for Dave and Paige Hawes. We also pray for Andrew Newman and Steve Light. And Father, we remember as well SIEATN and Maureen Thompson. We ask that you would bless these individuals and their families. Father, use them as chosen instruments in your hand to take the gospel to other lands, other places, cities and towns, and to make a difference for Christ. Lord, we love you. We pray that we would have an encounter with you, the living God, this morning. Through all the elements of worship, continue to draw near to us as we seek to draw near to you, even now as we pray that model prayer that you taught us so many years ago, saying together, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us of our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
Our third scripture lesson this morning comes from the Gospel of John, chapter 1, verses 29 through 34. The next day, John saw Jesus coming toward him and said, Look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. This is the one I meant when I said, A man who comes after me has surpassed me because he was before me. I myself did not know him. But the reason I came baptizing with water was that he might be revealed to Israel. Then John gave this testimony. I saw the Spirit come down from heaven as a dove and remain on him. I would not have known him except that the one who sent me to baptize with water told me, The man on whom you see the Spirit come down and remain is he who will baptize with the Holy Spirit. I have seen and testify that this is the Son of God, the Word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Well, I invite you to stand as we glorify God, singing hymn number 629.
Oh,
Our offertory statement this morning comes from Proverbs chapter 3. Honor the Lord with your wealth, with the first fruits of all your crops. Then your barns will be filled to overflowing, and your vats will brim over with new wine. Would you pray with me? Father, we thank you for our food, for our clothing, for our shelter. We thank you for the Holy Spirit, who is the deposit guaranteeing our inheritance. You have poured immeasurable blessings upon us. Therefore, it is with joy and gratitude that we give to you our tithes and our offerings and our sacrifice of praise. We ask that you would use these gifts to help the needy, to equip your people, and to expand your kingdom throughout Tampa and the whole world. For it's in the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. You may be seated.
Stand in honor of our King. Please be seated. You can open your copy of the Word of God to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. I'm going to begin a series of messages through the book of 1 Corinthians. And we studied 2 Corinthians some time ago, and I wanted to go back and for this time at least and through the spring, consider this wonderful book of Paul's letter to the Corinthians, his first letter to the Corinthians. One scholar called Corinth the Vanity Fair of the ancient world. It's kind of a mixture, I guess, between New Orleans and a Las Vegas in terms of all the activities that went on there. It was rich, and it had a big population, 80 to 100,000, which was quite large for this time period. Corinth was also a very pagan and immoral city. There was the temple of Apollo and the temple of Asclepius. The most important deities were Aphrodite and Poseidon. Many Latin-speaking elite in the city worshipped the imperial cult. This was at a time when the Caesars accepted worship, and so many devoted themselves to that. There were also deities of Isis and Serapis. Many of these deities held sway in terms of the lives of the citizens of Corinth. After establishing churches in the province of Macedonia, including Philippi and Thessalonica and Berea, the Apostle Paul moved south to the province of Achaia, where he founded the churches of Athens and also the church in Corinth. You can read all about it in Acts chapter 18, verses 1 through 18, if you'd like a little background on the missionary enterprise there. Paul wrote the letter in about 54 A.D., 3 years after he established the church in the fall of 50 or the spring of 52. Now, the themes of Paul and discusses in 1 Corinthians can be divided into two main areas. Number one, conflict within the congregation. And number two, compromise with non-Christian hedonistic values of the Greco-Roman world. And so we had problems on the inside with the people of God and problems on the outside as the people of God practice syncretism with the ways of the world. So Paul is going to address various sub-themes, various activities like believers suing one another and sexual immorality and disorder inside of a worship service. Also other items like marriage and remarriage, divorce. There are a number of items that Paul is going to address. And I think that as he addresses these things, we as all believers of all time can learn wonderful things about how to conduct ourselves as those who are believers in Jesus Christ. And so this morning we're going to consider just the first 9 verses as we introduce the book and look at one particular theme, and that is the believer's calling in Jesus Christ. The believer's calling in Jesus Christ. Now, whenever a pastor preaches a text, he ought to stick with the text because it's the Word of God that's powerful. It's the messenger, not the message. Get that right. It's the message, not the messenger. It's the song, not the singer. And so whenever we preach God's Word faithfully, God does things. He moves on hearts. And sometimes in passages, we'll go verse by verse, and other times we'll skip around a bit because of a dominant theme that I find or a preacher might find in the passage. And that theme I see this morning is one of calling, the Christian's calling. Look at verse 1. Paul called to be an apostle. And then later on in the first part of verse 2, he says, we are called to be holy as Christians. And then the latter part of verse 2, with all those who call on the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. And then skip down to verse 9. He says, God has called you into fellowship with his Son, Jesus Christ is faithful. So there's this theme, this dominant theme of the Christian's calling inside of this chapter. And that's what I'd like to probe for a few minutes this morning. Before we do that, let's devote our time to the Lord in prayer. Father, we ask now that you would teach us by your Holy Spirit. You would bring these ancient words to life, for they are your words, the Word of God. Father, you would perform your work by your Spirit in everyone who believes in the Lord Jesus. Father, forgive the preacher, for his sins are many. We wish to see Jesus and him only. And we devote our time of study to you now in his matchless name. Amen. Well, notice, first of all, there are several aspects of this calling, and I want to mention 4 of them for you this morning. First one is called to salvation. What is the believer's calling? Well, first and foremost, he or she is called to salvation. And that's why we will skip down all the way to verse 9. God, who has called you into fellowship with his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, is faithful. Now, this is clearly one of the implications. God has called you into fellowship with his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. What does this particular dimension of God's calling include? Well, it means deliverance from something and deliverance to something. First of all, it means deliverance from spiritual death and bondage to Satan and sin and being objects of God's wrath and eternal damnation. God has delivered us from those things as a result of calling us unto salvation. Listen to the words of Paul in Ephesians 2, 1 through 3. And you were dead in trespasses and sins, in which you formerly walked according to the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience, among whom we all once lived in the passions of our flesh, carrying out the desires of the body and the mind, and we were by nature children of wrath, like the rest of mankind. Paul goes on in that chapter to say, but God, being rich in mercy, loved us and reached down and plucked us out of that miserable state by saving us, calling us to himself and salvation in Jesus Christ. Listen to his words in Colossians 1, 13 and 14. He, meaning God, has delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. He's delivered us from the domain of Satan, also known as the domain of darkness, not only here but in many other places in Scripture. And so the person who's been called by God to salvation is no longer bound for hell, is no longer an object of God's wrath. He or she has been forgiven of his or her sins, past, present, and future. They have a hope and an inheritance in heaven. Well, not only have we been delivered from these things, these awful things, secondly, we've been delivered to something. It's a deliverance from death and sin and hell, but it's also a deliverance to fellowship with God. That is a relationship to God through faith in Jesus Christ. Don't you love the way that Paul puts it? We've been called into the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ. That presupposes salvation, but so much more. God didn't save you or me just so we would get a ticket out of hell and a ticket to heaven. He saved us to have a relationship with us. That was the intention in the Garden of Eden. God created man and woman, and he had a relationship with them until sin entered into the picture. And sin severed that relationship between man and God. And the Bible makes it clear in Romans 5 that that sin of Adam is transferred all the way down through the human race. It's what we call original sin. We're born with it. We just do bad things. We don't have to be taught because of that sin nature. But we're delivered to fellowship with God. And we see this over and over again in Scripture. Jesus Christ himself in John 15 calling us to fellowship. Abide in me. Let my word abide in you. In other words, it's not simply a matter that you've punched your ticket, but you've begun a relationship. And a relationship takes time. A relationship takes sweat and equity. Now think about a marriage. Marriage takes years to build. They can crumble in a moment. But if we devote time and effort to being with one another, to loving each other, to caring for each other, to sacrificing for each other, then we invest in something that is very, very precious for a lifetime. I think that's why the Apostle Paul said in Philippians 3, I want to know him and the power of his resurrection, the fellowship of his sufferings. Paul already knew Jesus Christ because he was saved. But what he meant was, I want to press in to know him better. I want to press on to know the Lord, as he said in another place. And that knowledge gets more and more intimate as we go along. He's called us to salvation. He's called us to fellowship with him, to have an intimate relationship. And you see, that intimacy of that relationship is what conditions everything else. I don't know about you, but I often find myself, as Danny prayed a little while ago, I'm not looking forward to the return of Christ. I could find myself on Sundays looking forward to watching a football game. I could drag myself into work on many days and not look forward to what's going on in the kingdom of God. But when I take time to spend with Jesus and develop that fellowship, that intimacy, there is something involved in that that somehow, some way, gets my attention. And it begins to condition everything else I think and do and say. It begins to condition my attitude towards things. It begins to condition the way that I live my life. We must have fellowship with Jesus Christ. That is precisely why the Lord Jesus himself said, "Without me, you can do nothing." And he spent a lot of time teaching his disciples that, didn't he? Consider the Apostle Peter. He thought himself so strong. He believed so vigorously. But every once in a while, when he got too far away from Christ, he began to falter. I mean, this was the man who, when he was with Jesus in the garden, drew his sword and cut off the slave of the high priest's ear. But not too long afterwards, when he was away from Christ, a little servant girl was saying, "He's one of them." And Peter began to deny it. In fact, he denied it three times. He began to curse to make it clear, "I'm not the holy type that would hang around that man." We're called to fellowship. When Peter was close to Jesus, there was power in his life. There was a willingness to sacrifice. There was a zeal. There was an attitude of service. May we have that too. We're called to salvation in Jesus Christ. We're also called to sanctification. And that is the second element. Sanctification. Look at verse 2a. He addressing the church in the introduction to the church of God in Corinth, those sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be holy. Isn't that something? Called to be holy. What happens after we are saved, after we're brought into fellowship with the eternal God, the Trinitarian God through his Son, Jesus Christ? Well, we begin a lifetime of sanctification. God has called you to be holy. It's one of the clear implications. Now, he has not called you particularly to be happy. He has not called you to be prosperous. He has not called you to be successful. He has not called you to discover your self-worth. He has not called you to discover your identity. You've been to the Christian bookstore lately or online? There is a plethora of books that say this is the way God wants you to be and to live. And if you go to your Bibles, you'll find one simple thing that God has called us to, and that is holiness. Holiness. But you see, that sounds drab to somebody who has never come into faith in Christ and has no relationship with him. For if you know the Lord Jesus, he will change you from the inside out. And there will be a sense of pursuing holiness, as Jerry Bridges, the great Christian author, wrote in his book many years ago. The Bible makes it clear in Hebrews 12:14, the theme verse for that book: strive for peace with everyone and the holiness without which no one will see the Lord. You see, when I say holy, I don't mean odd for God. You ever met one of those folks? They're odd for God. You know, it's almost like they have to dress differently or do something unusual so that they stand out. And that is not holiness. Holiness just means set apart. It really doesn't have anything to do with lists of do's and don'ts. It has everything to do with fellowship with Christ and a sense of backbone.